Amen. Thank you, Vicky. Good morning. Man, look around. Give somebody a wave that says, I'm glad that you're here. And, you know, some of y'all put a smile on your face because I know what it is. You just, you know, they say it like this. If you're having some troubles in life, look around you and you'll find somebody who's having more troubles than you are. So just look around. If you're feeling unpretty today, just look around. You'll find somebody that'll make you feel better about yourself today. Come on, guys, wake up. I know it's raining. All right, listen, we're so glad that you're here today. If you are part of our online audience, we thank you for joining us as well. As always, our very own and your very own Dr. John Cazito is right there monitoring along with those that are worshiping with us online. As always, if you have any questions with the online folks, you can be sure to ask Dr. Cazito. He will either get you an answer, he'll know the answer, or he'll get you one. And we certainly do appreciate his ministry with our folks that join us each week. A lot of folks from right here in our own backyard, but there's a lot of folks from different states that join us on Sundays as well. So at any rate, we are tickled to death that you have chosen to be here to join us today. So I do want to say this. We got a lot of things that are going on today. As you'll notice, we will be having the communion, observing the Lord's Supper. So that means that when I preach, I have to preach fast. And like I've told you before, you have to listen fast so we can you know, not keep you here all day. Plus, at the end of the service, I have to go out of the door hot. I've got to be at a memorial service in Chapel Hill this afternoon. So as David is closing, I will be on the road to get out there. A lot of things taking place this week. Don't forget, good to see Diane. We love you, girl. We're praying for you. Don't forget, Brandy's memorial service is this coming Tuesday as well. You've seen the data out there. As always, we're praying No time is a good time to lose a loved one, but at any rate, let's be sure we love on Diane. That's one of the things that we certainly want to make sure that we're doing. So as we begin our time today, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, we just ask, Father, that you would help us to take these moments to just catch our breath. Lord, to sit back and enjoy the peace and the serenity of being in your house. Lord, we realize that the world is throwing many things at us. We are busy. Father, I know that there is a schedule, there's some sort of an agenda that most folks have even for today. But Father, for these moments, I pray that you will help us to just take a deep breath and to not worry about the schedules and where we've got to be and what we've got to do. But rather, Lord, that we would spend this time focusing upon you. Lord, may your word speak very loudly and clearly to us today. May the Holy Spirit move in an incredible way in each of our hearts and in each of our lives. And Lord, we will be so careful to praise you for it. As always, Lord, we pray if there's one within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, we pray that today truly would be the day that all the saints in heaven would have the opportunity to rejoice over the saving of that one soul. So, Father, may all that we say and all that we do today magnify and honor you. Help us lift you up that you might truly draw all men unto you. And, Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, one thing I do want to mention, Cuba. A lot of y'all have been asking. We have hit those 2 weeks where we weren't able to have church. And as you know, one of the things that we generally will do is take our offering. We ask our Cuba missionaries to raise their support outside of the church so that when we come into the church, the monies that you give in the church go to support direct ministry that we're doing while we were in Cuba. Normally, we do that 4 weeks leading into our trip. We have this Sunday and next Sunday before we leave for our trip. And what we give through the church is what funds the ministry that we will do while we're in Cuba. So I'm asking you, if the Lord is leading you, he's quick. He's already led you. Don't hesitate. If he's leading you to support our Cuba mission trip, please do so. As the offering plates come around, you just put that in an envelope, mark it Cuba. We will know where it goes. 100% of that will go to fund the trip. Once again, you guys are paying for the ministry over there. So far, Central has single-handedly purchased the solar system that they're working on at the retirement center. You all have provided every dollar to pay for that system, and supposedly, I talked to a guy who was there a couple weeks ago, is supposedly up and running, and the government got involved in a good way because they are actually paying the retirement center for the power that they're buying back to supply others in that area. So it's actually making the retirement center some money so that they can continue to support those residents that are there. That happened because of y'all's generosity, 100% you guys. We also fund the Awana missionaries' annual salary. We take that down there with us so that children will continue to come to know the Lord because he's gone to all these regions and trained folks, and he goes to about 100 churches a year and does training for Awana children's ministry within these places. Your generosity supports 100% of his annual salary. So there's a lot of other things that come from your support. So I'm just going to say it to you like this. I'm not going to beat you over the head with it. Don't delay. If the Lord has led you to give, we need to do that today or next Sunday so we will know what we have to work with as we go to Cuba. So I'm not that guy that says, you know, I'm not going to sit here and beg you. The Lord's already put it on your heart and on your mind. But this trip hinges on what you guys are able to do. If we don't have it, we can't do it. It's plain and simple. So once again, I pray that your generosity would be there, that your support would be there as this group makes strides to go. And don't forget those that are going. We definitely need your prayer support. We don't know what we're going to be walking into this year. You remember there's some tensions there between the U.S. and Cuba, as there always has been, but the political conundrum with Venezuela and everything else. So we need your prayers, plain and simple. That's what we need more than anything. We need your prayers. We need your money. How's that for not hiding it, okay? Need you to give, and I need you to give fast, today or next Sunday. I love you. I appreciate you. Brad's going to come and lead us as we begin our time of worship today.
You stand as we sing Standing on the Promises, 335. 572, I love to tell the story.
Jesus and His story. chapter 6. If you've got your Bible, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn over there to John chapter 6 with me. You'll notice today that we are prepared to celebrate and to share in the Lord's Supper. This is one of the two ordinances that we read about in the Bible, also in the Baptist Church, where we come together and we identify with Christ. Now, I've said so often that I think too many times we can get to the point where we go through ritualistic type things to the point where they don't make sense to us anymore. They don't mean what they should. I don't want that to be communion. Obviously, you know, when we come together and we come around the Lord's table, it is for a reason. It's not that we don't have anything else we could do. It's not for filler for a service, but it is because it has been ordered by God for you and I to do this. And we know, hey, everybody has read the front of a communion table. It says that as we do this in remembrance of Him. Yeah, it is to remember the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. It is to remind us what Jesus has done for us. It is a time that should be incredibly special. I am so grateful for our communion crew. Now, I know that some people would say, well, they just get together and put stuff in cup. No. It is a ministry for that crew. I mean, a very special, Phyllis. This is her ministry. Honey, I love you and I love your heart and all that you do. I mean, Phyllis has shed tears. Phyllis has prayed for you guys. She has loved you. She wants to make sure that the biblical stage is set for your worship and for my worship. And I love you for that and I appreciate it. Yeah, we don't eat the styrofoam that most churches eat for communion because Tammy actually bakes the unleavened bread that you guys partake of here. And I know they may get mad at me for saying that, but thank you, because yeah, that shows your heart. That shows that it's not, well, let's just get together and put some juice in some cups and let's just throw a box of this in here. No. It is an attitude and an atmosphere of worship, even the preparation of what you will do today. That's the way it should be as we enter into the time of communion. Is that how we view it, or is it just something that we do? Yeah, I hope and pray that it's not. Look with me at the words that we read in the text of John chapter 6. We're going to begin reading at verse 53 about what the Lord tells us in regard to the Lord's Supper. Look, John chapter 6, verse 53 and following says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that your Spirit would speak loudly and clearly to us. Lord, we pray that you will teach us some things from your word today. Lord, maybe some things we've never seen before. May your Holy Spirit be prevalent today as we prepare to gather around your table, as we prepare to honor your word, as we prepare to honor the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection for each and every one of our sins. Lord, I pray that you will guide us, that you will lead us, that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that for these few moments you will use me as your messenger, that you and you alone truly would be high and lifted up. Draw all men unto you because of who you are, not because of who man is. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. See, now as we look at this particular scripture, this scene unfolds shortly after Jesus had miraculously fed 5,000 people. Most of us can remember that story, can't we? Where he takes a few loaves and a couple of fish and he feeds this crowd. I've said that so many times, we have to understand some historical context, because when you do, it even makes miracles look even bigger than what you and I think about. Because when it says that Jesus fed 5,000 people, that was 5,000 what? Men. Were most of those men married? Oh, yeah, yeah. Guys can't make it without, you know, a wife. So now all of a sudden, the 5,000 becomes how many? 10,000. Now, you got to remember, too, that back in that day, women that were not able to bear children felt like that it was some sort of a sinful problem or whatever. So let's just say that each couple had one child. How many people were fed that day? 15,000. Now, that's if they just had one. A lot of them probably had even more than that. But the five is only talking about the men that were numbered in that crowd. So all of a sudden, this miracle becomes even larger than what you and I think. So all this is just happening as the people continue to seek Jesus. They are desiring more miraculous signs, and they are wanting more physical sustenance. Okay, they're following Jesus. They're like, wow, this guy's pretty cool. He's doing some miracles. Let's keep following him. Let's keep watching what's taking place. Let's keep watching what's going on. And by the way, we don't have to worry about it. He's got the food truck right here with us. He's taking care of us in that way as well. So people are wanting to see these things about and with Jesus as he is traveling on. So Jesus all of a sudden shifts the conversation to a deeper spiritual truth. Here we find Jesus addressing a Jewish audience that are well-versed in the practices of the Mosaic law, yet they were struggling to comprehend this radical new covenant that he is introducing. Now, let me be very clear about this. You have to think about it. I've always said, I think that one of the toughest times to have been a believer would have been at the time that Jesus walked and he lived. Now, here's why. Because if you were a believer in that day, you were a believer in the law. You were a believer in the fact that there was going to be a coming Messiah that would come onto the scene, that would be able to forgive the people of their sins, right? Okay, imagine that. So you're being a good follower of the Lord. You are following the law. You're following all the sacrifices. You're doing everything that you're supposed to do. And now all of a sudden, the long-awaited Messiah is born, which, by the way, the religious people didn't buy into that. You know, they remember, the Bible says that he went to his own and his own received him not. The ones that should have known that Jesus was the Messiah didn't give him credit for being the Messiah. The religious people, the church, as it were, didn't accept Jesus. So now all of a sudden, Jesus is teaching his followers, we're going to do a new thing. Okay? We don't like new things, do we? Come on. How many of y'all, you don't like change? Let's be honest. Confession's good for the soul. You don't like change. You are dyed-in-the-wool Baptist. You don't like change. You don't like things being done different. Now, imagine Jesus coming onto the scene and saying, we're going to do something radically and completely different than what we've been doing before. Ooh, we're going to have some deacons meetings about that. We're going to have some listening sessions about that. We can't be changing stuff like that. Well, what do you mean we're not going to have to go and sacrifice animals anymore? I don't know, man. That's what Grandma taught me we had to do. And now all of a sudden you're going to come in and change all this up? Are y'all following what I'm saying? Remember, that's what they had to do. Jesus was, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection would bring about something new. Now, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying here because you're going to hear it again in just a few minutes when we have communion. When he talks about the cup, the shed blood of Christ, and the word tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He says this. Now, you're going to hear this verbiage again. In a like manner also, when he supped, he took the cup saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. This is what Jesus was telling his disciples. We're going to shift gears. It's going to be a new thing. This is a new covenant. And the new covenant is because of my blood, which is shed for each and every one of you. Because my blood is a perfect blood, you won't have to sacrifice animals anymore. Jesus is the once for one and all perfect sacrifice. Wow. Yeah, can you imagine that? Look, I mean, you don't have to come to the church with a lamb that you sacrificed. You don't have to come to me as your pastor to go to God on your behalf. I'll do that anyway. But listen, you can talk to God yourself. Remember, the temple veil, when Christ was crucified, the temple veil, which separated the Holy of Holies from common man, was torn from top to bottom, meaning you and I have access to God the Father through Jesus the Son. Do you realize that back in the day, you didn't even have that opportunity through prayer? You had to kind of go to the priest. See, that's where modern day Catholicism, where you'll see people going to a priest for confession. That's still an Old Testament sort of way of doing things. Yeah, listen, man, when I mess up, I don't have to go tell anybody except God himself. And I'm like, Lord, I've messed up. I've sinned. And he goes, I know. I saw you. I'm watching. I know what's going on. So as we look at this, Jesus is beginning to teach them that there is going to be a radical new change in how things would be done. Now, I think some of the disciples are a lot like us too. They didn't necessarily dig change. But he's saying, this is what's been prophesied from many, 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 many years before coming into it. Now, they knew the Mosaic law, yet they were struggling to comprehend that radical new covenant that he is introducing to them, okay? His words echo the sacrificial language that is so vivid to their worship experience, yet he invites them into a more profound relationship with God and the Father. He's bringing us closer to him. Now, I hope and pray that as we take these times and these moments, not only today, but as we go forward in the future, to realize what a special time it is to be able to come around the Lord's table as his family, to be able to celebrate this supper with him. You know, it became even more real to me having been in that upper room. Yeah, I had that privilege back in December to be in Israel and stood in the upper room. And let me go ahead and tell you this. Da Vinci's depiction of it's not far off. It really isn't. I'll have to show you some pictures and some videos about what the place looked like. But, I mean, I was sitting there going, wow, this is pretty cool. Looks like the scenery that we have over there in the other building. But I stood there. Where Jesus brought his disciples in. He was trying to explain that with him. And where they partook of the bread, and where they partook of the cup, and the steps that they went down after they sang a hymn and they went out. I'm sitting there going, I am walking in this place, which was so cool to me. But I can always tell you that you guys were always on my mind as I was there. And that is the reason, and I'll explain it to you in just a moment, but there were 1,000 pastors at the Tomb of the Resurrection. Yeah, Christ's tomb. I got to walk inside it. And you know what I found? Nothing. No bones, nothing, because Jesus is not there. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He's not there. And have communion with 1,000 pastors singing praises to his name at the garden tomb. So at that garden tomb, today you're going to have a little olive wood cup. Because my congregation was on my mind while I was there. So from the garden tomb, little olive wood cups, you'll partake in the cup today. You get to take that with you. You take it home. It's just a way to connect you to the time, the trip, and the moment. Yeah, there's nothing special about it other than the fact that it's from where Jesus walked out and said, the grave can't hold me back. And I hope it'll mean as much to you as it does to me to be able to do that. So when we look at these particular passages that we're looking at, in the original Greek, the terms flesh and blood, they're symbols of the real sacrificial body of Christ, you know, pointing toward the sacrifice that he would make soon on the cross. Now, communion is a moment of unique and spiritual intimacy where believers experience the life-giving presence of Jesus himself. And I pray that as we take communion, this is what our heart is. This is what our attitude is. Not just something that we do because it's ritualistic, but because it transports you to that moment where there is true intimacy with Jesus Christ. That's what it was about with his disciples. He took his disciples, he took them to that upper room, and he says, listen, I want you to understand, I love you. This is going to be a very difficult journey along the way, but I want you to know I'm doing this for you. Today, I want you to understand something, that Jesus went to Calvary's cross for you. If you would be the only person on the planet living and breathing, Jesus still would have gone to Calvary just for you. That means that he walked out of that tomb 3 days later just for you. That means that he provides salvation by grace through faith for you. Isn't that great? I mean, this is a personal time. This is a time of intimacy with our Lord as we come around the table today. And a lot of times people sit back and say, well, I don't see how that's intimate. Let me ask you a question. How many of you that have your sweetheart with you went out for dinner for Valentine's Day at some point? Okay, you had dinner. That was an intimate time with your spouse, wasn't it? Okay, there you go. The rest of you, shame on you. You in the doghouse or something, I don't know. But at any rate, you know what that's like. It's a time to be able to share some time together. All right, so that's what Jesus is wanting of us today. He is here. He is excited about the fact that we're going to come around the table today and remember what he's done for us. Remember the pain and the sacrifice, and to remember the resurrection, that when we go out of here, we do so celebrating him. But buddy, what an intimate time. By partaking in the bread and the cup, we're not only reminded of Christ's sacrifice, but we also enter into that special union with him. You see, Jesus declares that without eating his flesh and drinking his blood, there is no life in us. That's verse 53 of our text. I'm going to give it to you exegetical really quickly. Here he directly connects eternal life to a personal and an intimate relationship with him. And we know that. Eternal life has the connection of a personal and intimate relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son. Now in verse 54, the promise of resurrection is tied in this act of communion, signifying that life does not end at physical death, but it continues through eternal life. And verse 55 and 56 further speak of the necessity of this relationship with Christ. The bread of life must truly be consumed. A continual abiding in Christ that requires spiritual nourishment that's akin to food and drink for the body. Are we being spiritually nourished, or do we have spiritual anorexia? Is the only time that you come into the presence of the Lord and learn and glean and gather from him, is the only time on Sunday morning? Yeah. If the only time you ate physical food was on Sunday morning, how do you think you would? Right now you'd be going, oh great, it's Sunday morning, I get to eat again. But you'd be starving to death. You'd be starving to death. But we'd all look pitiful, wouldn't we? We wouldn't look like me. Let me tell you something. If you think I eat, you know, once a week, think again. Most of us, you know, some people say, well, I eat 3 times a day. Some people eat 5, 6 times a day. If you're a snacker, you count them up, you eat more than that. Boy, just think what we would be like if we got as much spiritual nourishment as we did physical nourishment. But we'd be Bible scholars, wouldn't we? I think we would. So Jesus is not merely referring to the act of communion, but he is emphasizing a lifestyle transformation whereby the believer remains in him, creating this unbreakable bond of spiritual kinship. You didn't realize there was so much to communion, did you? You didn't realize there was so much to the Lord's Supper. So how do we take this knowledge that we've learned from the Word today? What do these passages mean to us, not only today, but as we go forward? See, as we partake in communion today, we're invited to renew our commitment to this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Let it be a moment of introspect and deep connection where we assess the areas of our lives that need the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ. We need to reflect on His ultimate sacrifice and allow His presence to transform and to nourish every part of our spiritual journey. Can we do that today? You think about that? See, it's always interesting, and you'll hear this again in a moment as well, because the Word says this, that as you begin to partake in communion, it says, but let a man examine himself. Why do you think that the Lord is saying we need to examine ourselves? Here's why, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will point out unconfessed sin in your life. The Holy Spirit will point out where there are errors in our ways, and we can make those things right as we come into this moment with our Father around the table. And what a special, special time. It's really interesting because life has changed so much over the years. But I'll guarantee you that in this room, there were a lot of you all that had many a family dinner around the table, didn't you? Yeah, everybody came in and you sat down. There wasn't no games being played. It was just you sitting down there. And by the way, you ate what mama cooked. And if you didn't like it, you starved to death until mama made something you liked. And all God's children of my era said, amen. Amen. You ain't eating no ravioli. You gonna eat these beans whether you like it or not. I ain't making three meals for you. It's been a long, hard day. This is what you got. If you don't like it, you can live again for tomorrow. Boom. I think a little more of that needs to happen in society today too, but nonetheless, it was a special time. You see, sometimes it's hard to preach this message to a newer generation. I'm not throwing off on them, but man, listen, some of them don't know what it's like to sit down with family around the table. They don't know what it's like to enjoy the opportunity of being a member of the family. About finding out what was going on in somebody's life, hearing how the work day went, hearing how school went. You laughed together, you cried together. But boy, weren't those special times. You know what Jesus is saying today? The table's prepared. Why don't y'all come on in? Why don't you tell me about your day? He already knows. He wants to hear it from you. Here's your seat right here. How many times in biblical life do we sit back and say, there's room at the table for me? The Lord's got a special place around His table. It's got my name on it. I got a placemat or one of them little cards. You know, you ever been to a place, them swanky places like that, or weddings that got your name on it? That's my seat. Does it have your name on it? In fact, it does. Right here. In the kingdom of heaven, my name is at a place. And as a believer, so is yours. The table is set before you. And Jesus said, would you come? Would you gather around? Would you? Yeah. Let's gather around as a family. We're coming around the dinner table today. We're not meeting with the TV trays in the living room. We're coming around the table as a family today. And the Lord is the cook. The Lord is the one who's speaking to us. The Lord is the one who wants to have that intimate relationship with us. So today, as the bread passed, or as we take in communion today, let's renew that commitment to Him. Let that moment of introspect and connection be in us. And as the bread and the cup are passed through our hands today, may they serve as a very powerful reminder of the intimacy and the nourishment that is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Plain and simple. Let's not merely participate in a ritual today. You know, I think that sometimes we can be guilty of doing that. I think that there are times when we can overtake the Lord's Supper. And what I mean by saying that is, you know, at times I know there's people, you know, some churches believe they take it every week, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think that what happens is we get in coast mode, don't we? And all of a sudden, it becomes a ritual rather than something special. When I first came here, we had communion at Central once a month. And like I say, once a month is also pretty close in time. So what we did was we pushed it out to where we did it once a quarter. And I know people ask me, they were like, well, why? Because you know what? Because I want it, when we come together around this table, it to be very special. Not something that we're so accustomed to doing that it becomes part of the ritual. So we did it once a quarter for a while. Now we're at about every other month. And the reason I say every other month is because I think that's far enough to keep us from getting so accustomed to it that it becomes ritual and it's special when we come together around the Lord's table. So if you've ever wanted to know why that's our communion schedule, that's why. Because I don't want us to become so used to it that it just becomes something we do as part of the church service. And I think every 2 months gives us enough between it to where we come together with the heart that Phyllis and Tammy and Nancy and all those that prepared this have in store when we come together. I have never been in a place where communion is as special as it is here. That's me. Now, I will have to say this. At the resurrection tomb in Jerusalem, that was pretty special. But it's still not like Central Baptist Church. And I say that with all my heart. Let's not merely participate in a ritual today, but let's experience that renewed fellowship with our Savior who invites us into a life-sustaining relationship with Him that's strengthened by His presence. Would you do that today? Is that what we think about? What is it that the Lord has put on your heart and on your mind today? Are you going to deal with Him? The time is coming. We're preparing to have our communion together. I'm going to give you a few extra instructions today because, like I said, today is a little bit different. But before we do that, Brad, you guys come on up. We're preparing the time of invitation. It's an invitation not by me. It's an invitation by our Heavenly Father. And first of all, the greatest invitation is come to me and I will provide eternal life for you. Jesus stands and He knocks at the door. And He says, whoever opens it, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. So you know what? Here's the thing. Jesus doesn't force Himself into anybody's life, but He comes and knocks at the door. So I'm asking you today, have you ever answered the knock of the door in your heart by Christ? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you a believer? I'm not asking if you just went through all the stuff at church. I'm not asking how many cards you filled out, how many people you prayed with, how many boxes you checked. I am asking you if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Do you have talks with Him? Do you have walks with Him? Okay? Not just I did the thing, it's I know the man. There's a difference in those two statements, amen? Not worried about you doing the thing, more concerned about you knowing the man. Do you know Jesus? Have you begun that relationship with Him? Okay, I'm just going to put it country boy flat out. Okay, you ready for it? If you don't know Jesus and you draw your last breath, you're going to spend eternity in hell where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, where there is torment forever and ever, 24/7. There you go. That's what you're signing up for by rejecting Jesus. But through Christ, there is a place where there's no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more tears, where the love of the Father is, where we get to spend that. No more darkness. Wow. That's where I want to be. Sign me up.
Well, I'm already signed up. See, Jesus is your ticket. And here's the other thing that we must always consider. I don't think we can wrap our mind around it, but here's what it is. We cannot fathom eternal life. You can't. Yeah, we sing the song, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. How many of y'all are 10,000 years old in here? I didn't ask how you felt. Okay, you're not, how many of y'all can remember 10,000 years ago? Oh, you can't remember it because you weren't there. How about books? Anybody read any 10,000 year old books? I know some of y'all are going, wait a minute, what's the date on the book? No. Okay, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days. Give me another 10,000, then another 10,000, then another 10,000. That's eternity. We can't fathom that, can we? I don't know about you, but I want to be in the place that has the streets of gold, the mansion prepared, where there's no heartache, no suffering, no tears. I don't want to be in the place where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth and torment and total darkness. And by the way, that's what you pick. You either pick Jesus or you pick Satan. That's what it boils down to. As Forrest Gump say, I might not be a smart man, but I got that one figured out. You're either for him or against him. You either trust him or you haven't. That's easy. There is no middle ground. I like what some people said, well, I'm just not going to make a decision. I said, then you just made a decision. Not making a decision is a decision. You're either for him or you're against him. Where do you stand? Listen, I want to see every one of y'all in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to be real uptight if y'all don't make it. Because I'm just sitting there going, I've been telling you for years and years and decades. Don't reject Jesus. Have you asked him to come into your heart? Yeah, prayer is conversation with the Father. If you've never trusted Christ, and I'm just begging you right now, not because of who I am, but because you feel the beckoning in your heart, because the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart's door. Not because I told you to. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? If he is, then you can simply bow your head and say, Father, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe what Christ accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, forgive my sin. I believe. Help me, Father, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that's the beginning. You know what Jesus says? It's kind of like when you go, yeah, and you knock on the door, you come in. Get to know him. The table is set. He's like, hey, I got a place for you. Here's your name tag. Yeah, gave you a good seat right here by some other people that you know. Yeah, I want to sit down and hang out with Peter a little bit. You know why? Because he was a knucklehead like me. I want to say, tell me what that was like. Dude, tell me what that was like when you hopped out and walked across the water right before you crashed and burned because you lost faith. I want to hear the stories of Moses. I'm going to say, look, man, I was a pastor. Moses, you led a bunch of stiff-necked people. I led a bunch of stiff-necked people too. Let's swap stories. Y'all didn't get that one either. Y'all a little slow today. But at any rate, where do you stand? Listen, maybe you just need to say, Lord, maybe there's some things in your heart right now that the Holy Spirit's pointed out. You're getting ready to come around the table. Will you deal with them? Will you say, Lord, I'm offering this to you. You take care of whatever it is that when you come around the table, you can do so with a clear heart. The Bible says, but let a man examine himself. I pray that you'll do that. We'll give you the moment to do that. Here shortly, but right now, what decisions have you made? Listen, if you need me, I am here. If you need this altar, it is here. If you've trusted Jesus, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We're not going to do anything, drive anybody crazy, but we want to celebrate with you. Maybe if you've got a closer walk with him, maybe there's some things you need to offer at the altar. That's fine. Take care of it today, but don't let this moment get away from you. You can't do that. The Holy Spirit is beckoning. So would you take care of that? You know what it is. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, I can't see the number. 320. If you will stand with me as Brad comes and leads us in our time of invitation. I'm here. The altar's here. You come. Hands are bowed as your eyes are closed as you do business with God. Make sure that you have heeded His call today. The knock, whatever it is that He's wanting you to bring before Him today, I'm praying that you will do exactly that. That as you come around the table, you will do so with the pure and proper heart before Him. At this time, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. As well, I'd like to ask our serving deacons if they would make their way down to sit on the front row as we prepare our time for communion. Father, as we come to you today, we do so realizing that you own it all. Lord, there are you are the owner of a cattle of 1,000 hills. You don't need us, but Father, you want to bless us. You want to honor us because our faithfulness and obedience to you. So Lord, we pray. We pray for our Cuba mission team as they prepare to go out. Lord, we ask that you would provide through your people. Lord, I pray that you would bless us just simply because we've been faithful to worship you with the tithe and the offering. Lord, may you truly bless the gift and the giver. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. I do want to just kind of tell you a little bit about what we've got going on here as we begin our time of communion together, and then we will finish up here shortly. As always, when we do communion, we will have an offering at the door. That's a benevolence offering, just in case I forget that, because I always wind up forgetting to say that. So if you see one of our ushers out there looking like they're getting ready to shake you down, they're not. It's all good. You don't have to avoid them, but anything that's contributed there goes into the benevolence fund to help take care of those that that are our folks. But again, what a special time that I had this past December. Being over in Israel, being at the resurrection tomb, and having that opportunity to do communion with 1,000 pastors there. And I wanted you all to be a part of that, which is why I picked up the little olive wood communion cups that you'll be served out of today. You can take that with you when you get done. You don't have to turn it back in. It's not that we're using them again. That is yours as a way to just kind of remember, pray for your pastor, but to remember that you were a part of that communion with me while I was there, and it was a blessed, blessed time. The Lord tells us in His Word that as we gather around the table, He says, but let a man examine himself. So you know what He's saying? He's basically saying at this particular point that we need to look into our heart. We need to see what the Holy Spirit might be convicting us of. Is there unconfessed sin there? Is there something that we need to deal with before we take this opportunity to come around the table? He already knows. He knows our hearts. So what is it like? What is it for you? What is it the Lord that's telling you? So I want you to take this moment in an attitude of prayer as David and I prepare the table here. May you take the time to honor God's word by examining yourself. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Around your table, what a special time. What a blessed time. Lord, I pray that as we do so with our hearts prepared, our minds prepared. Lord, your word says to examine ourselves. I pray that as we've done that, that we've taken care of anything that's unconfessed sin in our lives or anything that would separate us from fellowship with you. Lord, as we come together in this special time, we share in this intimate moment with you and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we might do so in a way that is pleasing to you. So, Lord, right now we ask that you bless our time as we pray it in Jesus' name.
Let's have a gracious Father. Thank you for your opportunity to participate in this communion service this morning. We ask that you bless our bread as we take it in remembrance of you, and ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Word tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, said that he took the bread and he gave thanks. It says he broke it. He passed it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Folks, as we partake in the cup, we're going to do something a little different this time. You'll notice that the cups will be up here in the tray. We're going to dismiss you by row to come up and pick up one of your cups and go back to your seat. If you have trouble or you can't do that, that is perfectly okay. I have Jimmy over here who will have a tray. So as folks are being dismissed to come pick your cup up to go back to your seat, if you cannot make it, don't feel bad. Just put your hand up. Jimmy will have a tray, and he will make it to where you are to get you served. Do not feel bad. Do not feel guilty. Put Jimmy to work. So at this time, I'm going to ask David Bowman, if he would, to ask the blessing upon the cup, and then the deacons will dismiss you by rows to come forward to get your cup. Brother David.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to celebrate communion. Lord, the blood of you that's represented by the cup, Lord, we just ask that you just be with us here, search our hearts, and remember that your shed blood gives us eternal life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Word says, in a like manner also, when he supped, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood." That was that change. That was something different from Mosaic law. That was the perfect sacrifice once for one and all. So he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The word says, "For as oft as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do show the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you for being a tremendous part of my life. And I'm going to make things easy here in just a minute. All good Baptists, I like to do this every now and then. You know, all good Baptists like to, as we had communion, we've done the Lord's Supper. Remember, the word says that after they were done, it says they sang a hymn and went out. What do all good Baptists sing? Okay, you be thinking about that. Vicki, you got me covered. I'm going to give you a few announcements, and I'm going to have Pastor David come up, and he'll either pray or lead us whichever way the Lord leads him. And I just want you to know I love you. Thank you for participating. Phyllis and Tammy, thank you so much for what you do to make communion an incredibly holy experience. Here, and as you guys get a chance, be sure to give them a hug and thank them for what they do to make our worship experience great. Now, I just want to give you a few things, like I say, and then I'm going to be heading out the door like a whirlwind because I got to get to a memorial service in Chapel Hill. But my cousin is here, Wayne, good to have you, and his beautiful wife. You know, like I say, I'm not sure about him, but his beautiful wife's here. So Aunt Frances, your middle child is here, so I've got an eye on him today, and your daughter-in-law. Thank you guys for taking the time to join us and to be with us today. Just let me give you a couple things. Birthdays. Today, Mickey has a birthday, right, Mick? Mickey Garrison, that's Mick's birthday. Be sure to love on him and pass him some checks or some money or something along the way. This coming Wednesday, Nancy Tuttle, who's probably watching us, Nancy will be having a birthday this coming Wednesday. Then as far as anniversaries, Brad and Lachelle will celebrate their 40th anniversary. They're today. It's actually today. They're celebrating their 40th today. So be sure to give them a big happy anniversary. And then also Vivian and Gary Wells will be celebrating their anniversary this coming Wednesday. So if you get a chance, be sure to let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. Pass those hugs all the way around. My D group is actually going to meet today. I'm not going to be there, but one of my guys will definitely take over and make things go forward. Right, Bill? Yeah, we'll volunteer Bill. They'll make it work. So we all kind of teach that class all together. But anyway, I'm appreciative of it. My D-Life group will meet today, 3:30 in FLC 116. Choir practice is at 4:45. Awana is at 5:30. But we will not be having the adult Bible study this evening with you know, the darkness and the rain and people having trouble being able to see and whatnot. So we won't have adult Bible study this evening, but we will have choir practice and Awana. Are you guys back yet, Jim? Okay, not yet. I'm just wanting to make sure I don't overlook anything. Tomorrow, actually on Monday, there is a building and grounds meeting at 4:30 in FLC 116. Steve's D group will meet here at the church 6 o'clock tomorrow. Mari's D group will meet 6:30 at their house. So keep those things in mind. Ladies Connections meeting, March 4th, 4 p.m., FLC 116. Ladies Monthly Breakfast will be March the 11th, 9 a.m. at Cagney's on Friendly. And then I do want to mention our Cuba team. We will actually be leaving on the 26th. The trip is the 27th through the 6th of March. So be praying for us. Be praying for us. Pray about what the Lord would have you to do to contribute to this ministry, that we might continue to make a difference over there. And I do want to do one thing, because we had some missed birthdays because of our missed Sundays. So I want to just mention that on February the 2nd, Marty Chapman had a birthday. There's Marty. Wave, Marty. He had a birthday. February the 5th was our administrative assistant, Debbie Sullivan. Had a birthday, and then February the 13th, Susie. Am I saying this right? Blattel, was that? Blattel, Susie Blattel. That's Mickey's baby girl back there. She had a birthday. I didn't want to forget those just because we had some bad weather. So be sure to wish all these folks a happy birthday. Let them know how much you love them, how much you care about them. And don't forget, as you're on your way out the door, if you see the guys, see Eddie over there standing with a plate, you don't have to run from him, but that is a benevolence offering. That goes into our benevolence fund, and that helps those that we may have in our church that come up against difficult times. So at any rate, I think I've got it all covered. So David is going to come up and dismiss as he sees fit. He's either going to pray and you're going to sing, or you're just going to dismiss in song. But guys, I love you. Thank you for everything. I hope you enjoy your little gift direct from Israel. I promise they're genuine. I picked them up myself from the area of the Garden Tomb, and thank you for participating in that way with us. Once again, I am going out the door at Mach 2 right now. I've got to get to Chapel Hill, so pray for me as we go. Don't forget, we're praying for the whole family. Diane, one of the toughest women I know. Brandy's memorial service this coming Tuesday. We'll try to get more data out this week as we go forward. Is there anything I'm forgetting? Okay. All right, I'm running, guys. I love you. Pastor David, either sing for us or pray and sing for us, or whichever way the Lord leads you.
One other thing before we sing. We're going to sing. Okay, that'll be our benediction. But before we sing, I want to share something with you that you may not know. We have a celebrity among us today. You didn't know that, did you? Recently, the Greensboro Fire Department elected or appointed Gary Evans as the retired fireman of the year. And yeah. People love Gary, but he earned that position too by his service to the fire department and all the years of service that he said. Let's stand and we'll sing "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," and this will be our benediction.
Blessed be
you. Thank you for coming today.